Welcome to Fitness Disrupted, a production of iHeartRadio. I am Tom Holland, and this is Fitness Disrupted. I had a friend reach out to me recently, texted me a nutrition question, kind of comment, observation, wanted to know what I thought. They said that they were following a website, a program, a person, and that this person was telling him that fruit and vegetables were bad for you. And let me just read the exact text I received from this friend. He is talking about this fitness guru, whatever you want to call the person. I'll call him a charlatan. But I quote, this is what the person texted me, that he was being told, eating too much fruit is bad because fructose is bad for you. Vegetables also. He says most trainers and dietitians don't know about fructose. So that was the text from the friend, explained to me what information he was getting from this program, website, fitness person. And I said, time for a show. Not only time for a show, time to bring back for the third time, registered dietitian, nutritionist, Wendy Earlbeck. She will now be the only person to have been on the show three times, and for good reason. She's really smart. And it's not just because we agree on the science. We both follow the science. She has no bias. And I originally found out about her through social media, Twitter, I think it was, and just watched what she said and what she reacted to and how she reacted to it with science and just intelligence. And again, no bias. Just common sense and science and, you know, looking at what people could actually apply. So I did this friend text me that. He said, you got to listen. Here's the website. You got to go and listen to the guy. And I said, you know, 20 years ago, I would have. Not today. And you may say, well, why not? You got to get that information. I did go to the website because I wanted to see what his credentials were. I couldn't find it. Now, I'm sure if I went to the video, he also sent a YouTube video, I'm sure I could find where he was speaking. But conspicuously absent from this slick, slick website on exercise and nutrition and just, who's the person behind it? Who are you listening to? Really well done website. Give him credit. But I don't need to listen to yet another charlatan speak about things they don't know about, that so directly contradicts science. And science isn't perfect, but he's way off the mark. And we'll tell you why when I bring Wendy on. But that's where we're starting from. Not going to talk about vegetables today, although it might come up as well, because I'm going to give her, she doesn't have the direct quote, but I reached out to her and said, Wendy, I need to have you back on because we need to talk about fruit. And this isn't the only person who has said this to me. I'm sure you've heard it. Some of you may believe it. Fruit's bad for you. Sugar and fruit's bad for you. Should avoid fruit. We're going to tell you why that's not true. Not true. And it's so easy. You know, the iconoclasts in nutrition and exercise, the ones who go, crunches are bad for you. Never do this exercise ever. You know what's interesting? It's never the ones you shouldn't do. It's never the ones you actually that are dangerous. Those are the ones people do more frequently. You know why? Because they're generally sexier and more complicated. It's the basic stuff, although crunch isn't very extreme, but it's always going against the conventional wisdom. Don't eat fruit. Don't eat. If we actually listed, and Wendy and I might just do that, all the foods you're told not to eat, there's nothing left. There's nothing left. And as Matt Fitzgerald said when I had him on, the mere fact that there are so many contradictory diet plans, one way to eat tells you what? There is no one way, and that so many of them are so wrong. And so Wendy and I are going to discuss, is fruit really bad for you? And I'm sure it'll go sideways, and we'll talk about other things as well. We're going to vent. That was actually part of the email I sent to her. I got to have you on, and we both have to vent. All right, quick break. When we come back, registered dietitian, nutritionist, and friend of mine, Wendy Earlbeck. We'll be right back. All right, as I said in the intro, had to call Wendy and get Wendy back on the show after receiving this text from a friend. And you know what? I feel for this friend because he's somewhat susceptible to these kind of, you know, just ridiculous fitness charlatans, nutrition charlatans. So Wendy is here. Let me give you her bio. And by the way, third time, three-peat, as we say, right, Wendy?
That's right. So first, grateful.
And yes, well, for very good reason. And let me give the bio quickly. Wendy Earlbeck is a registered dietitian, certified nutritionist, sports nutritionist, should say, both. I'm going to say both. she utilizes evidence-based science, really important people, to tailor nutrition programs for athletes to optimize performance, minimize health risks, and enhance recovery from training while focusing on injury prevention. All really important things that we talk about here, right? Wendy partners with parents, sports performance staff, special needs, and recreational athletes to offer nutritional guidance and optimal athletic performance and lifestyle plans. Wendy is based in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and she is the founder of Nutrition with Wendy LLC. And let me throw out the website right away, Nutrition with Wendy, and that's Wendy with an I.com. Twitter, Wendy Earlbeck, IRL. You'll see it in the, I keep saying this, Wendy, and it's like, now we're in a world where they see it on the on their phone, whatever. But yeah, so Twitter is Wendy Earlbeck and Nutrition with Wendy is Instagram. So go to all three of those places. And Wendy, thank you so much for literally in a day, I said, you got to come on tomorrow. So thank you for the short notice.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me, Tom. I mean, any opportunity to speak with you and your followers, you're just a wealth of knowledge. And I will say, though, other people, I'm sorry, Tom is great. So if I've said no to you recently, yeah. I'm just kidding. No, just a blessing. Thanks, Tom, for having me. And you're keeping me in suspense now on what
Wendy
this
Wendy likes me more
said.
Than you. For all you podcast hosts out there that asked her to be on. Tough luck. But yes, like,
oh no, don't blow up my ego.
No, you are, you know, I said it in the the intro, and I will say it in the outro as well. You know, the evidence-based science, and you don't have a bias. And that's what, you know, drew me to you when I first saw your Twitter posts, I think they were, and just science-based and, you know, common sense and no bias and out to help people. And Wendy, I still see, and I have it, and we both will talk about it, the frustration with all of the bad information out there, including this. So let's get right to it. I read it during the intro. I'm going to do it again because you haven't heard it. So the text I received, Wendy, was the guy is quoting from this fitness nutrition guru, eating too much fruit is bad because fructose is bad for you. Vegetables also. Oh, he says most trainers and dietitians don't know about fructose. I had to put my phone down. And I get these all day long, as I'm sure you do as well. And it's so frustrating. I mean, where do we start? Where do we start?
Oh, that's a lot to unpack. I'm just kind of like, literally, as you were just when you dropped fructose, I was like, oh, here we go. I just rolled my eyes, you know, rudely rolled my eyes. I first and foremost, Tom, my initial knee-jerk response is, you know, all of this depends. Context is so important, you know, because fruit in abundance, right? Too much sugar can be problematic for people that are already, you know, dealing with ailments, poor regulation of blood glucose levels. But before we jump into the science of it and kind of unpacking that, I would argue that first and foremost, people don't eat enough fruits or vegetables. And I think that fruit is vilified. And I think it's really unfortunate that people are, you know, tossing out fructose and glucose and dextrose, you know, these sugars, right, that they don't really even understand from a molecular level what they are and how they're processed within the body. So I would just, you know, from a more simple level, I would argue, okay, why are we demonizing something that first and foremost has so many beneficial effects, right? Decreasing chronic diseases, reducing inflammation, positive effects on our heart health. I mean, the antioxidants, the fact that a lot of people are under consuming fruits. There's a recent survey that was delivered by the USDA that people are only getting about 0.8 cups of fruit. And the recommendation is a cup and a half to two. So I know a lot of people dislike the recommendations, but if we actually follow those recommendations, we could live a healthier life. And people tend to blame fruit for their weight gain when really they should be looking at the cupcakes, the cakes, the processed carbohydrates and sugars, right? So sugar is sugar. It doesn't matter if it comes from a fruit or if it comes from a candy bar. The difference is with that fruit, you're getting a ton of nutrients. You're getting fiber. You're getting significant amounts of water. And we know too that when you have fiber and those additional nutrients, it slows the release of our insulin, you know, in the rise of blood glucose levels, which is why people demonize fructose, because they have this complete misunderstanding of what actually happens when fructose enters the body. They'll say, oh, it floods your liver, it bypasses all these steps. And we understand from, you know, a metabolic pathway that that's not always the case, especially when there's fiber involved. So the sugar from a banana, because bananas are rich in fructose, is going to be processed differently in a sense because of the fiber, because of the nutrient composition what's in that package along with the water as well versus straight gummy bears. So it's the fact that you're getting this delightful package, I'll call it, like a present, because it has, again, all those anti-cancer, anti-inflammatory effects versus the sugar from the gummy bears or the candy is going to cause inflammation. It's not going to contain fiber. It's not going to slow the release of insulin, you know, and your blood glucose levels will become vastly out of control. So that is my first knee-jerk response. I know that's a lot, but I get so passionate because I have this conversation probably every other day. So I feel like I already have kind of an elevator speech for it.
And a perfect one. I mean, you know, boom, knockout punch right there. And I want to rewind all the way to your first sentence because it's so important. And it's
What did I say?
Yeah, you're going to have no, you're going to go, well, I wasn't even meaningful. You said it depends. And Wendy, I've talked about this so much recently because what I've noticed over the years, when you talk to really smart people like yourself or Dr. Brad Schoenfeld or, you know, whomever, the top experts that I have on this show, they start every question I ask them with it depends. Because it does. So in other words, when someone says to me, how many times a week should I work out? My answer is going to be, it depends. It depends on what your goals are. It depends on what you're going to do. It depends on, you know, so it depends. When you have these people who say, well, here's exactly what you're going to do. That's where you go, wait a minute. There's so many other factors, not the least of which is like, again, what do you want to do? You know, what do you like? So right then and there, like, you know, your credibility for everyone should just skyrocket. Not that, you know, just unbelievable. And yeah, I mean, so much there. And then I wrote down scribble notes as you went. Not enough, right? So it's like when they have all these studies, Wendy, about exercise, how much is too much? That's not the problem, right? We're not, most people, the vast majority, 99.99999, are not doing too much exercise. Same thing with fruit and vegetables, right? So, but I love that. Like diabetic people, I mean, there's other considerations, but you kind of knocked it out of the park right there. And let's just really quickly, I don't want to go too far here, but you mentioned it and it's worth mentioning. Sugar is sugar. Like that confuses people, right? Your body doesn't really know agave versus, right? Although when you have it with different compounds, as you said, that's what changes it.
Yes, that is correct. So first off, I have to compliment. Yes, again, you are someone that everybody should be following. So when I share out your podcast and information to my followers, they're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I've never heard of this guy. And I said, yes, Tom is amazing because you do put out great content and it does depend. I love a lot of the exercises that you've provided throughout the quarantine too, of things you can do at home that are practical, right? And functional. And I hate that word in a sense, but right. I'll say it just for the sense of everyone is sitting in front of their desk. So just being able to get up for 5 minutes and do some body weight stuff creates that blood flow and it can help people be healthier and more productive and reducing, you know, some of the mental health challenges. So sidebar there, I had to compliment you
on that.
Yeah, you're welcome. And just kind of, you know, further examining what you said about, yeah, sugar is sugar. The difference really is when you pair that with a protein too, right? Because that also slows the rate of, you know, our blood glucose rising. And some of these people that really, you know, vilify fruit, it's because they're all about, well, insulin and sugar and blood glucose, this and that and the other thing. And really what we need to be mindful of here, we're not saying eat just an apple or eat just a banana. And I know you're the same way. I always say a balanced plate is a healthy plate because if we have a balanced plate, a balanced snack with a protein and carbohydrate or a healthy fat and a protein, then we get a stabilization in our blood glucose levels, which drives our cognition, our focus, our appetite has a better regulation. We aren't getting these ridiculous cravings because we have, right, fed the body. We've nourished it. Our brain is receiving the nutrition that it needs. And obviously we know this, that our brain and muscles rely upon sugar, carbohydrates, right? That is our desired fuel substrate that is consistent in the literature. And I know to this day, people are still going to argue about it, that, oh, we can use fat. And that gets into the whole, you know, it's not efficient though. We can't break down fat as quickly as we can carbohydrate for fuel for our muscles, for activity, our brain, et cetera. So again, I'm getting tangential, but—
No, you're not. That's so good. Keep going.
The benefits of fruit are just so important. And it's frustrating, Tom, because this text, you know, when I hear this, I heard it one time and I'm just like, I kind of blacked out. I was like, no, you know, when I hear this, because people take it out of context. And then you have athletes, you have really active adults, actually, you know, that are doing a lot of training. I work with quite a few triathletes too. So when they hear things like this, you know, without all that, you know, knowledge and confidence in what they're doing, they think, oh no, I shouldn't be eating fruit. So then they start, you know, restricting and cutting out an entire food group, and they're missing out on key micronutrients that are found in fruit that are cofactors for macronutrient, right? Our fats, carbs, and proteins, our macronutrient metabolism. So it's super important that we don't take any of this out of context, and it always does depend, but even diabetics too can benefit from consuming yes. fruit because of the fiber, because of the polyphenols, right? The quercetin too, that's found in blueberries and apples, right? It's all beneficial for decreasing inflammation and fighting disease. And there's significant studies out there. We can go to the Journal of Diabetes Investigation or even the European Journal of Nutrition, and they've linked fruit intake with a decreased risk of developing diabetes and cancer, as well as decreasing blood pressure and heart disease. I mean, come on, you know, we got to look at the longevity piece, right? It's all these working, moving pieces. And that's why we make everything so simple, yet so complicated. Like we need to look back at the recommendations and say, what's the whole day look like here? Are we overindulging in cakes, cookies, ice cream outside of our main meals? It's frustrating when people blame fruits and then even starchy vegetables like sweet potatoes for their fat gain when, no, you just overconsumed an excess discretionary calories like those sweets, right? So why would we blame that banana that's 90 calories right. packed with a ton of fiber and all these nutrients when really, how about it's the two bowls of ice cream that you had after dinner? Why can't that be the problem?
Exactly. And you know what I wrote down? So much. We should do a 5-hour show. I get so excited every time you're on. I scribbled down after I wrote, you know, the quote from the text. Trainers are not nutritionist people. Trainers are not, say it over and over with me. Trainers are not nutritionists. Then I wrote, most trainers don't even know basic exercise science. So, you know, the wheelhouse they're supposed to be, the lane they're supposed to stay in, they don't really know much about that. I'm just being honest, spent many years, decades in this industry. And then when they start talking about nutrition, oh my gosh. And the problem, my final point on that, actually, that Wendy, I wrote, if your nutritionist doesn't know about fructose, they're not a nutritionist, right? I mean, to this guy, give me a break. The problem I see, and I'm sure you'd agree, and you kind of hit on it, is people get a little bit of, you know, a trainer like this or whatever he is, I don't even know what he is, they get a little bit of information and they blow it up and they make themselves sound really smart. Let me give you a really simple yet powerful example they just experienced. There was a nutritionist, not Wendy, obviously, who was on social media, and to their credit, they had a little bit of information. So a new study out about burning calories in the cold, right? How the body reacts. And she said, you burn 4 times the amount of calories in the cold. It's not true, people. So a little bit, if you look at the studies, it was actually about, I don't know if you looked at this, Wendy, it's so interesting. It was basically an Outward Bound type program where people were shivering, right? So they weren't exercising. Oh, they were spending a lot of time outside, because the bottom line is once you, first of all, and this woman was actually outside exercising, she was walking. She was bundled up. So once you bundle up, you're no longer cold, people. And once you start exercising, you're no longer cold either, right? The core body temperature. So that's a great example of taking some science about brown fat, about shivering. It's the shivering reflex that is burning the calories. So once you warm up, you're no longer in that state. So that's just an example that I use now about what Wendy and I are talking about with fructose. And it's not in a vacuum, as Wendy's saying, right? Talk a little bit more, because people don't get, once you start to, like, I've seen you, Wendy, you say, have an apple with some peanut butter, right? Have a banana with some, you know, whatever, another protein. So combining makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a really great example, Tom. I kind of scribbled that down. I'm going to have to give you credit to that when I share it with other people. It's a fantastic, you know, the causation versus correlation.
Yes.
And leaving the science up to the experts, right? And it's just kind of like relating it, not to talk about the undisclosed virus that's amongst us, but people who all of a sudden become epidemiologists overnight. It's just wild to me. So it's like the same thing with nutrition. And and you see all the stuff out there about sugar and vitamin D and zinc. And a lot of people are becoming overnight experts. And I just, you know, I just wish people would stay in their lane. I definitely have learned, I will say this humbly in my experience, to talk about the trainer. When I was a young punk, I was 20 years old when I became a 1099 CPT when I was going through my first undergrad. And I was a trainer thinking, oh yeah, I know all these things. And most certainly I was telling a lot of my clients too that, hey, you should be reducing your fruit intake because of all the sugar. I didn't know what I know now. And I wish I could go back and kick my own butt and to just leave it to the expert. But I will say that I completely understand, you know, the competition out there for many trainers and nutritionists, you know, not registered dietitians. Same thing with exercise physiologists. Everybody wants to become the expert. Everybody wants to have the solution. But I would just argue, you know, just for the best interest of the population, the young athletes, the people that are struggling out there, the consumers, you know, don't prey on their desperations and claim to be something that you're not. That's doing them a disservice and our profession. So you'll be more respected if you reach out to an expert in the respected area and say, hey, I have this person, I have this question, you know, what's your desired response? You know, what would you do? I need some assistance. So that can help build your rapport as a trainer and earn you more revenue. And then plus, of course, help the person, right? We're all here to help the person. So let's just do our due diligence. And a byproduct of that will be you can increase your business. So I will get off that pedestal and talk just a little bit more too about the context of fruit. I really just want to touch on the benefits because I feel like for a lot of athletes and people listening, just selling them on portion sizes and understanding that, yeah, if we pair it with a protein and we have a balanced plate, I'm big on this, right? Eat the rainbow. A colorful plate is a healthy plate. So having a fourth of that plate be a lean protein, whether that be 3 to 4 ounces in the context of a deck of cards. And we know the benefits of greater protein intake for not only aging adults that are fighting off age-related muscle loss, but even athletes that are females too. So maybe increasing that to 4 to 6 ounces. So a deck and a half of, you know, protein, for example. And then also having a fist size, which would be about a half a cup to a cup, depending upon the fruit. And you can actually go to the USDA or the American Heart Association, and you can learn all the portion sizes of fruits because obviously a banana is going to be different than an apple. A banana serving would be 6 inches versus a apple would be about a half a cup, medium sized. And same thing with blueberries, about a half a cup. But you always want to pair those things as we complete the plate here. A whole grain, again, context is key. And for a young adolescent athlete, they definitely need that whole grain. If someone is overweight, they're very sedentary, maybe they don't need the whole grain and they can replace it with an additional serving of fruit or starchy vegetable and make half that plate fruit and vegetable, right? But you always want to have balanced plates and then balanced snacks. So the banana with the string cheese, the blueberries with 2 hard-boiled eggs. And we've talked about eggs in the past too and how amazing those are. but a big part of this too, yes. And as a dietitian, it does depend. So if I'm working with, you know, Sally that's overweight versus Johnny, who's a young athlete, Johnny is training, you know, maybe 20 hours a week. So he's going to have to consume greater carbohydrates and more sugar. Yes. And more fruit because it helps reduce exercise-induced inflammation. You know, it can reduce some of the delayed onset muscle syndrome that some of these athletes get that have multiple training sessions in a week. But then also for Sally, again, if she has been eating chronically processed foods, she does have some, you know, inflammation going on within the body. And what's tremendous about fruit, Tom, is that, you know, blueberries, cherries, apples, pineapple, all of these delicious, colorful fruits have antioxidants and they can help reduce this inflammation, reduce this swelling, right? Help support the regeneration of our cells. And of course, right? disease prevention, longevity, right? Not everyone's an athlete, but we all want to live a healthy life for a really long time. So there's really no reason to cut out fruit. So the verdict on fruit is that it's healthy. And in fact, I would encourage everyone to ensure that they eat at least at a minimum 1 to 1.5 servings per day of fruits, and then 3 to 5 servings of vegetables.
Yeah. I mean, if you go to so much there.
It's a lot. I know. I'm passionate. No, I like so nutrition. Much
I want to hit on, but like, again, let me just backtrack a tiny bit. Even when, and listen, I was a trainer, you know, green behind the ears way back when as well. But I would argue the difference, most likely knowing what I know about you and myself at the time, we both had open minds, though. I knew what I didn't mm-hmm. know. And you, I'm sure I was always studying, always looking up. And if I didn't know something, I'd say, let me find out. You know, that's gone. Right? Especially in the world of exercise, Wendy, where people are expected to be a doctor, a physical therapist, a psychologist, a nutritionist. It's like, oh my gosh, right? Come on. So I have to say that, you know, yes, we all learned along the way, but it's the iconoclast, right? That's the problem. Is it's so easy to, especially in the nutrition world, to say, this is so bad, you should never do it. Then you're going to get likes. Then you're going to get, you know, eyes on you and things like that. And when you sell moderation, when you sell science like you and I are, it's really difficult because it takes time and it doesn't go against the conventional norms and against all the garbage that is so loud, right? Especially because of social media. It's an uphill battle more so than ever before. And I see the frustration in your tweets. And that's another reason I had you on, because I was like, we need to rant and just get to that. But yes, like, I mean, my gosh, the Mediterranean diet. And there was that tweet that I'm going to avoid like the plague.
I can't even go there. I'm laughing because I'm literally going through the Rolodex of this week of what blew up. It's kind of like every week that it's like a dumpster fire. We joke, but it's Tom, I love what you're saying about the fact that, you know, keeping an open mind. And I think, yes, I agree. Just because, right, we still know historically and consistent with the literature, but it still depends. You know, application and science are totally different. That's great that it's proven in science, but we also have that behavioral aspect in which we can't control people. And plus, a lot of people really struggle with making some of these changes that it's not practical. So when it's not practical, it doesn't really matter at that point. So it's almost like you have to meet them halfway. So if someone is, you know, 100% gung-ho on, I want to, you know, integrate some fasting into it, and they're like, this is what I'm going to do. It's like, okay, how can I as a practitioner meet you halfway? I have an open mind. This is what you want to do. You know, indirectly, we can try and get them to do things a little bit differently. But there's always, you know, just context is so key. And I just can't reinforce what you said enough about, we just have to meet them where they're at and have that open mind of, I'm not sure on that. I'll get back to you, because there's always a different perspective and we need to honor that.
Yeah. I love that you said that, because that is like the third component of this show and what I do. And I would argue what you do. There's the science, there's the anecdotal, and then there's what the person likes. Like, what are they actually going to do, right? It doesn't matter if the science says, if you do this, you know, you will absolutely gain muscle, lose weight. If the person, and that goes for so much, they can't fit it in. So we have to figure out the likes and dislikes. Wendy, I'm back in school, a Harvard program for graduate in motivation, you know, back studying what I studied in my math, and I'm loving it. And it's never ending, right? Intrinsic versus extrinsic, all of that stuff. But what you're saying is what we're studying now. We have to find, the person has to find it on their own. You and I, our goal, our job is to help them make the choice. Not make the choice, not preach to them, not, I mean, we can do these shows all the time, but what I love about you, another, you know, thing is that you live the life. And, you know, if you want to feel good and be happy and be strong, and as you said, live a long life, probably listen to some of this information, right? And apply what you can.
Oh, amen. You are speaking my language. Another part of that too, Tom, and then I'm going to remind you to try and think of, you were saying something about this wonderful, you have amazing ideas, but this one you said you forgot about it. So I want you to think about that while I just promote this. Like, there's another thing too about, you know, some of these up and coming influencers, I'll call them, because they lack any credentials, but they have you know, over 50,000 followers. And then you have people that are trying to promote, you know, evidence-based science and explaining, you know, the fundamentals and the nuts and bolts of getting quality sleep. And I promote this all the time about 7 to 9 hours of sleep and why it's more important to prioritize your nutrition versus doing a stupid training session. And when I say stupid, I mean going and running 5 miles that are junk because you're tired and you feel bad and it's going to disrupt everything else. So just really looking at it from a really basic standpoint that we really need to be mindful of the information that we're following and we need to filter that and just be careful. And, you know, again, just because it works well for you, Tom, or it works well for, you know, me, doesn't mean that it works well for Johnny, who's looking to take on a new fitness or health program. But I would argue that we should not demonize fruit or starchy vegetables. Right. And we just got to get back to the basics. I always try to sneak that in because I want people to be successful. And it just pains me to see so many people struggle and spin their wheels because they're diet hopping, they're trying all these things. And if they would just be consistent with a few simple behaviors, they would be so successful. And that would just, you know, from a practitioner standpoint and human, that would make me so happy to see people get out of the diet dogma and to embrace, hey, I can have a cup of berries with my eggs in the morning, and then I can have an apple at lunch with some peanut butter and some string cheese, and I can be happy and healthy and successful and lose weight and whatever the goal is. So fruit is definitely, it's not anecdotal that it's good for you and healthy for you. It's definitely proven.
Yeah, let me throw out, you know, we do a lot of studies here. You referenced a couple, and I grabbed just one. There's so many, but it's recent. American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, September 2019, improving fruit and vegetable intake attenuates the genetic association with long-term weight gain. I mean, how perfect is that? What does that mean, people? Wendy knows, and she will explain it more. But not only are fruit and vegetables good for you, but this study looked at not only weight gain, but people that are genetically predisposed, which, you know, we can discuss all that, what that percent is, 20 to 30% based on genetics, whatever. And let me just give you a quick, you know, look at the abstract. They were looking at whether changes in fruit and vegetable intake can modify the effect of genetic susceptibility to obesity on long-term changes in their BMI and their body weight. And they, a big study, they used almost 9,000 women from the Nurses Health study and almost 5,500 men from the Health Professionals follow-up study. And so they did a genetic risk score based on 77 BMI-associated factors to determine their genetic susceptibility. And the results were what Wendy and I would expect. Magnitude of decrease in BMI associated with increasing fruit and vegetable intake was more prominent among participants with high genetic risk than those with low risk. So actually not what most people would expect, right, Wendy?
Mm-hmm.
And reproducible interactions were observed for fruits and vegetables separately. Based on similar nutritional content, the interaction effect was greatest for, Wendy's already hit on these, berries, citrus fruits, and green leafy vegetables. And the interaction pattern persisted regardless of the different fiber content or glycemic load, which is a little surprising. Like fiber, more fiber, we'll say, is generally going to fill you up and be a little better, right? But again, we don't have to get too deep, Wendy, into that. And finally, they concluded what? Genetically associated increased BMI and body weight could be mitigated by increasing fruit and vegetable intake. And the beneficial effect of improving fruit and vegetable intake on weight management was more pronounced on individuals with greater genetic susceptibility. Pretty great, Wendy, right? And no one study is perfect, as you said. Mm-hmm. And this one's pretty good, pretty recent. They even disclosed potential conflicts of interest. First of all, they rarely do that right up front, and this one did, but pretty good, supporting. And to your point, Wendy, the stuff we talk about, you know, our third show, these are studies and facts that have been supported over and over and over again. Does that mean that things won't come up and things won't change? Of course. But the stuff we're talking about has been pretty, you know, supported for a pretty long time in so many different ways, right, when it comes to fruits and vegetables.
Wow, Tom, I wish you could see my shocked face right now that study
right?
improved right health and chronic disease. Wow,
yeah.
No, that's amazing. That is truly. You need to share that out on Twitter, and I'll be sure to retweet
sure.
that. I feel as though that's a pretty. I mean, it doesn't matter how scientific you are. That's pretty profound.
Yeah.
So when we really talk about this, that's a fantastic study. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, that's what we do here. That's why I bring you on. You know, again. we should dive deeper. And I've had people reach out, Wendy, of course, like, you know, PhD level people, like, you got to talk about this. I'm like, no. We can only do so much, and say, you know, and people appreciate it. And again, we'll throw out, you know, sometimes, Wendy, we do 3 studies, 4 studies, 5 studies, whatever. That's just one to support what Wendy has been saying, what I've been saying, you know, when it comes to just that overarching fruit is bad for you. You got to go, what? like what? That just to me, you know, I always say about people like that, Wendy, the only way you're going to lose weight is running as fast as you can away from that person. You know, when it comes to their diet.
Yes.
And exercise.
Yes. Just, if someone tells you to cut fruit out of your diet, you cut them out.
You turn and run, you know, do your anaerobic intervals. But one thing I wrote down too, Wendy, when I was thinking about this show and you, there's so many people who practice nutrition without a license, right? You can't, as a doctor, you get arrested. And for nutrition, hey, you know, it's the Wild West. Say what you want.
You gain 10,000 more followers, actually.
Yes.
Isn't that what? Sorry to interrupt.
No, Wendy, you're absolutely right. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, typically when you say those ridiculous, outlandish things, you gain more followers. It's like the more ridiculous you are, the more followers you have.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm getting ready to pitch my next book. And it's always discouraging, Wendy, in that, like, I'll throw out some ideas, you know, moderation, things like that. And my agent, who's been around forever, and the industry, they don't want that. They want the quick fix. So I understand, we understand why there's a problem, because those books get published and those people rise to prominence on social media. But Wendy and I truly care. And that's why we get frustrated, right? If you're nutritionist, your trainer's getting frustrated with the bad information you're being dealt, it's for a reason, because we truly want you to get results, and we want you to be healthy, and we want you to not waste your time and your money and then not see results, Wendy, right? I mean, it's so frustrating.
Absolutely. I have a couple of things I just quick jotted down that I feel are really important for people to consider also with the fruit discussion.
Sure.
A dried fruit juices and juicing, that's something that comes up quite significantly, Tom, especially when you talk about, you know, new year, new me, detoxing, things like that. So dried fruit is not the same as consuming whole fruit, because it's been stripped of its nutrients. All the water's taken out. It's just a lot of calories. So for those people that are struggling to say, yeah, I'm eating fruit, because they think that dried fruit is the same thing, it's not the same thing. And without even knowing, they're consuming these, you know, dried pineapple trail mixes that it's 800 calories. And they think, oh, I only had, you know, just a couple, maybe it was a couple hundred calories. So, you know, audit your intake and the food sources that you're choosing, and just be mindful that when you're juicing these foods, you're taking out the fiber. So that disrupts the digestive process as well. So you're going to have all the sugar without all the fiber. So that key, you know, important study that Tom brought up too about fiber and the gut health and that response and slowing insulin, that's all very important. So consuming your fruits and vegetables in their whole source is the best. And it's, you cannot get the same things from powders or from juices. I would really discourage people from consuming juices. We should eat our foods in whole.
Yeah, the way nature provided it to us, right? Jack O'Lane, one of the guys I looked up to so much, you know, when I was starting out, was so fortunate to interview him once. Amazing, a full hour on a Saturday, like, oh my gosh. And
oh, wow.
Know, yeah, I look crazy, Wendy. Like, I'm like, that was just unbelievable. And he's one, I don't know if he came up with it, but he would often say, you know, if man makes it, don't eat it. And, you know, it's really, the more man touches it. Now, not to say that they're not coming out with some pretty amazing new products that Wendy and I, you know, both try, and they come in bags and boxes. But
yeah,
when you have an apple,
it depends.
There you go. Thank you. Perfect way to kind of bring this. See, it's the callback, like a comedian. We'll start to bring it together here. It depends. But like an apple, you know, a banana, berries that haven't been touched, that don't really have a label, they're probably better for you than something that's been, you know, fooled around with a little bit too much. So yeah, perfect way to say again, Wendy, it depends. But with all the it depends, we can still go back to what carbs are, you know, what energy is, you know, lifting heavy things. So the basics that you and I talk about every day, when you do those things consistently, what happens? You know, change. So stick with the basics.
Amen to that. Take care of your body. A colorful plate is a healthy plate. I mean, all those key fundamentals. And to your point, also congratulations on your next book. That's really exciting. People don't want to hear that, well, you just need to do this. This is the plan. You could literally hand them, Tom, and this is what I do with some of my clients. I have been very blessed. A lot of my clients are like, nope, I'm committed. just get me results. And they follow it and it's great. But for some people, they're like, that's really what you want me to do? Really? They think that it has to be painful. It has to hurt. It has to be disgusting. It has to be this rigorous process. Instead, it's no, you just need to fuel your body and eat to fuel your activity, right? Eat the rainbow, have a balanced plate, be mindful of your portions, and you can get results. They're more likely to buy into some detox program, which is kind of frustrating. It doesn't have to be gross. It doesn't have to taste bad. It's just really simple and it's back to the basics, but nobody finds the basics sexy anymore, unfortunately. So we just exactly. We just got to do what we can to compete. And what's really amazing though, Tom, is, you know, again, going back to some of your posts and your page in general, everybody needs to follow you because you make it practical. You have, you know, your kitchen in there too, and you do a lot of the same things that I do with, you know, building the plates and things like that.
I follow people you, Wendy. I'm stealing that from you too.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, people need to understand that, yeah, like it doesn't have to be hard or difficult. It's just really simple. You just put it on a plate. But I think a lot of people are so distracted too with what they're doing. So people just need to, we all need to slow down and just audit our time. But to your point of trying to keep all this short and sweet too, I want to make sure, again, I'm going to poke you. Do you remember thing that you were going to say?
As soon as we get off, I will, until we'll have you back, because that will be the topic of the next show.
That's great. Can we talk about vegetables next time?
And yes, exactly.
By the way, March is National Nutrition Month, and I know that the world is on fire, but March is National Nutrition Month, and I'm a dietitian, so let's focus on some of our controllables, and what the food we're putting in our mouth is definitely controllable.
And that's how I end every show. And let me just, I think, two more quick points. It's always about deprivation, deprivation, deprivation. And I always use as an example, you know, I'm getting ready for another Ironman. Listen, I put on a couple extra pounds. Some was muscle, some wasn't with COVID. And, you know, I was also putting on, you know, I'm heavier. I was heavier than I've been in a long time. I'm down 20 pounds. Okay, for this race. And I've got 14 more weeks. And people go nuts, Wendy. They always go, what are you doing? And I go, oh my gosh, I have the craziest new plan. wait, get ready for this. I'm exercising more, just, you know, and I'm eating a little bit less. I have cut out nothing. I still drink red wine. I don't drink as much. I still have treat. I just don't as much. And I'm not doing, people go, oh, well, you're doing so much exercise. I'm actually not. I'm just being consistent. Okay, at 51, almost 52, always scares me to say that, Wendy, because you're so much older. I can't do as much as I did before, and I never did that much to begin with. So the moderation works. You have to give it time. And you have to have, as Wendy said, kind of bring it all to the motivation side. I have a purpose. I have a purpose. I got to go to Brazil, and I don't want to embarrass myself, and I actually want to go fast for the first time in like 20 years. So I have a really strong drive to cut back, because I'm not cutting out anything, all of the things a little bit. But as Wendy said, when you change multiple things a little bit, it doesn't change your life dramatically. And you can find foods you love. There's so many different. You find exercise you love. You need to lift heavy things. You need to raise your heart rate. And you need to find foods that you like. And within those three buckets, there is a ridiculous number of options, right, Wendy? And that's what people have to, it's not about cutting out. It's not about, as you said, doing something you really dislike. It's finding something you actually like and doing it consistently.
Oh, amen. That's, I wish I could say that that's groundbreaking and chain life shattering, but it's not.
It's not. it's
funny for us, but for other people, not, yes, not to make joke at the consumers, but I, first off, that's awesome. Good for you. I'll be praying for you, for your health and for your condition and no injuries, and you keep taking care of yourself. And that's really amazing. I would say too, what helps is once you've built, right, that foundational base of muscle too, it's so much easier to maintain. You don't have to do as much work. And one of my clients locally here is also doing very similar things. She's still drinking wine. She's training for an Ironman. I have a couple of Ironman athletes training right now, but they are just reducing their intake. Instead of 5 days a week of wine, we're doing, you know, 1 to 2. And then also, you know, continuing on with all the other habits, but also just being mindful of portions. So it's crazy to think that, you know, other people would probably say, well, you're probably fasting. You know, are you cutting your carbs? You know, all of these ridiculous things. And you're like, no, it's a plan. It's a process. It's about being consistent and hiring an expert. I mean, you are an expert, so you don't necessarily need to hire an expert, but for someone else that does not have that understanding. That's the benefits of hiring a registered dietitian versus a nutritionist who does not have any certification. But of course, as I say, be mindful and filter. But not to get tangential on that, but I want to highlight that Tom, everyone should do what he's doing, right? With this triathlon training, right? It's a process. It takes time to cut the fat, right? And you want to trim down so you can be faster. But again, you have to have that aerobic base. You have to build, you have to have that lean mass to begin with. If you're somebody who's, 50 pounds overweight, we're looking at different phases here too. Totally. So I always like to explain that to some people.
Totally. And I love that you have, and listen, what Wendy said about a coach resonates really strongly with me, because the best I ever did in an Ironman was when I had one coach, and it was a guy, Troy Jacobson, who I did a whole show with, one of my three people I looked up to when I was starting out in this industry. Then when I started writing books and coaching myself, I wanted to go back to Troy, but I wanted to try out all my personal different ideas. So truthfully, I would rather be with Troy, because having someone tell you what to do that you respect makes it exponentially easier. So that's why, as Wendy said, when you go to someone like Wendy, and that's why I have her on, and we'll have
or
her
Tom.
On. So no, but seriously, it makes it so much easier. And follow the plan. When you follow the plan, when I followed what Troy did, and here's what I loved, Wendy, they were so basic. We're talking 20 years ago, by the way. He would like fax me, it wasn't like email even back then.
That's great.
Yes. And it was like bike an hour, run 30 minutes. It wasn't complicated. It wasn't intervals. It was time in the saddle, time on the road. And when I did those basic things, when I was consistent with the basics, oh my gosh, now genetics and some other things come into play, obviously. But Wendy and I will leave you with that. You don't have to starve yourself. You shouldn't starve yourself. It's not about deprivation. And when it comes to wine, let me just finish with that one. I have some bigger workouts this weekend. If I didn't have wine at the end of that, like tomorrow night, Saturday night's my night now, I would be really disappointed. So I know that wine is a carrot for me to enjoy life and to do these workouts. So don't deprive yourself, Wendy, right? And listen, reach out to someone like Wendy, nutritionwithwendy.com, and follow someone's plan that has the experience and expertise to get you there.
That's really great. Yes, you have to enjoy your quality of life and have a positive relationship with food. If you don't have a good relationship with food, the rest of the relationships within your life, your personal, professional, intimate, et cetera, will be negatively affected, just because we know there's so much affiliated with our emotional health and our mental health with the foods that we're eating or not eating. So take care of your body. It's really the only place you have to live.
Yeah. Thank you, Wendy. I want to do five more
Thank
hours.
Thank you, Tom. As I said.
Any fun things you're working on? You're just working like crazy, and it's the COVID world. So, but anything you want to throw out there, or just more the private practice stuff? You're so busy.
Oh, yes. Well, everybody's busy. Thanks, Tom. I'm so grateful for that. To be totally transparent, I've been blessed. The Lord has blessed my business. I have been putting in probably unsustainable hours lately, but all for the goodness of helping people. And it's very fulfilling and rewarding. But I've hired two virtual assistants that have been just a godsend. They've been working on some infographics for me to get some of my tweets, into that content. I had a running symposium at the University of Iowa that I presented at last Saturday. I have a couple of entrepreneurial presentations coming up for some mentor groups that I work with. And then I also have a dietetic intern from one of the local universities. And then I signed a couple of new Ironman athletes, which I mentioned before, that are super fun to work with. And I really, it kind of reignites my passion for nutrition, because sometimes I feel like I'm on autopilot and I'm like, okay, writing out programs and plans and, education and coaching. But I have a lot of general clients out there too that are in the South right now that are struggling with the huge challenges in Texas. So my prayers go out to them. And everyone else in the world with the pandemic. And I'm just really grateful for the opportunity, Tom, to talk about, health and wellness. And it's just such a blessing to be able to communicate with people like yourself that truly care about the person and the best interests of their life. And I'm just so grateful for that.
Thank you. And I'm grateful for our friendship, because, there's not many who just, are truly in it for the right reasons, I'd say. And it sounds kind of crazy to say, but I absolutely love what I do. I would do this. I do it for way less than I should, as do you, Wendy. But we're so fulfilled, because the success is, and we both truly mean this, when people reach out and we see the change and how you truly change someone's life, that's all the payment in the world. I mean, that is so much more motivating than, you know, payment. Obviously, we get payment, but you know what I'm saying? It's those success stories that are amazing. So, Wendy, thank you. We will do this again about vegetables. And as soon as this, I end this, I'm going to remember what I wanted to talk about with you as well. But there's so many things. Again, Wendy Earlbeck, registered dietitian. Reach out. You will see. I'm going to put your Twitter and Instagram and everything in the bio. I'll have my producer do that
thank
for
you.
You. Yeah.
Thank
so you. Reach out, because people, you can't do it alone and you need an expert. And when you do that, it takes so much of the pressure off, and follow a plan and you'll get the results. And we are back. Is fruit really bad for you? No. And I want to thank Wendy, my first three-peat guest, and for not good reason, great reason. Wendy is one of those people that when you come into contact with them, you say, I'm keeping this person in my circle because they make me better. She makes me better. And I bring her on. I don't know everything. She is, I'm a certified sports nutritionist. She's a registered dietitian. There's a big difference. Now, I studied the nutrition along with my, exercise science and exercise physiology. Of course, you're studying energy and carbohydrates and, mitochondria and fuel, and then did the sports certification that she has as well. She's a registered dietitian. So, I have a certain level of expertise. And then I bring in someone like Wendy, other nutritionists, to fill in the gaps that I obviously have and to get another perspective on it. Because you need to hear it over and over and over again, because there's so much noise out there. And let me finish also with she said all this, but I want to hit it one final time. Harvard School of Public Health. Let me read to you what they say about fruit, and we'll throw vegetables in there as well. Harvard School of Public Health. A diet rich in vegetables and fruits can lower blood pressure, reduce the risk of heart disease and stroke, prevent some types of cancer, lower the risk of eye and digestive problems, and have a positive effect upon blood sugar, which can help keep appetite in check. There's more, but I could stop right there. How many benefits did I just outline? Eating non-starchy vegetables and fruits like apples, pears, and green leafy vegetables may even promote weight loss. And their citation was the study that I gave you. They go on. Their low glycemic loads prevent blood sugar spikes that can increase hunger. Finally, at least 9 different families of fruits and vegetables exist, each with potentially hundreds of different plant compounds that are beneficial to health. Hundreds of different plant compounds that are beneficial to health. That's the disease prevention, people. That's the boosting of your immune system. That is why, yes, exercise is medicine and nutrition is medicine. People go, no, it's not. Yeah. Yeah, it actually is. It boosts your immune system, both of them. Eat a variety of types and colors of produce in order to give your body the mix of nutrients it needs. This not only ensures a greater diversity of beneficial plant chemicals, but also creates eye-appealing meals. This all came out of a text from a friend who was told, who read, who was following someone in the fitness world who says fruit and vegetables are bad for you, and the trainers and nutritionists don't know anything about fructose. I wish I didn't have to have these conversations so frequently, but I will. This is what I do. And there's no argument. We just talk about the science. Talk about the science over and over, and then talk about results. And then maybe examine the source of that fruit and vegetables are bad for you. What is your background? What is your education? Because unfortunately, the people giving this information, they tend to look good, right? Social media has given them this newfound power. Because genetics sell. Oh, do this workout, eat this food to look like me. The person didn't do that workout or eat that food to look like they do most often. So follow people like Wendy Earlbeck. Realize that it takes time, but you can do it. We all have the capacity, and it doesn't have to be horrible. It shouldn't be horrible. The foods you eat, you shouldn't deprive yourself. You find heavy things that you like to lift, whether that's machines, free weights, resistance bands, body weight, you name it. Do that. Find what you like. Cardiovascular activity, swimming, biking, running, walking, Zumba, jumping rope, rowing. Sky's the limit. Raise your heart rate frequently and then find foods you like and eat a lot of them. You know, that's a topic for another day. Yes, I know. And we even touched on portion size. To me, that's the argument with exercise. Don't worry about doing too much exercise and don't really worry about the portion size when it comes to fruit and vegetables. Why? Did an Instagram post recently leave you with this, the bag of vegetables that I was going to eat? The whole thing. How many calories in that bag of vegetables? 200. 200. It's like less, it's like half a cookie that people are eating today, the size cookies that are out there. 200. And I wasn't even going to eat it at one time, although I could and have. So don't worry, at least out of the gate, don't worry about eating too much fruit or too much vegetables. Now, again, it depends. You know, if you have underlying health conditions that may be a factor, that's different. But you're not gaining weight. Oh, I forgot one thing for another show. You're not gaining weight by eating too much fruit. Anyway, oh, I love talking with Wendy. I hope you enjoyed her. She is so smart, so worth every minute of. Thank you for listening. Again, I'm going to throw out her stuff one final time. Nutrition with Wendy. That's Wendy with an I.com. Wendy Earlbeck. That's Wendy _ Earlbeck. I-R-L Beck. Nutrition with Wendy. Underscores between the words there as well. Nutrition _with_ Wendy. Follow her. Font of information, nutrition and exercise. Thank you for listening. Please rate the show. Comment if you can. Subscribe. Please subscribe if you have not already. Many more guests. We'll have Wendy back to discuss other topics. And any comments, questions you have, reach out. Questions I will put into shows and I use them all. I reply to them all. All right. May take a little while, but I will get to them. So, Tom H. Fit is Twitter, Tom H. Fit is Instagram, and you can go to fitnessdisrupted.com as well. Thank you so much for listening. Wendy said it too. We control three things: how much we move, what we put into our mouths, and our attitudes. That is awesome. I am Tom Holland. This is Fitness Disrupted. Believe in yourself. Fitness Disrupted is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.